Hello and welcome to God Calling Vocation Vibes, which is a series of conversations with the Little Sisters of the Poor, a podcast highlighting vocations within the church. My name is Sister Carolyn, and my religious family, Little Sisters of the Poor, is an international congregation of women religious who serve on 5 continents in 32 countries. And it is our great joy to have as our mission, our God-given mission, the service of Jesus himself and the elderly poor. And I have with me a very special guest today. I have with me Sister Barbara Mullen, who is a sister of St. Joseph of Chambéry. Welcome, sister.
Thank you, sister.
Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your religious family?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm a sister of St. Joseph of Chambéry, one of the many Joseph groups around the world. My group happens to be international, and similar to you, we have presence on 5 continents with approximately 1,600 to 1,800 sisters. I guess I would say that for our charism, or for how we describe ourselves, we were founded to take care of any need that we found in our world. Of course, at the time of the revolution, it was mostly working with women and children, the poverty. But you know, over these decades and years, those needs don't change. So wherever we can find and discover people with needs, we try and step in with our gifts and our talents to do that. We're considered a Eucharistic congregation in that we focus our attention and our spirituality on Jesus in Eucharist, broken for others. And that's what we attempt to do in our own lives.
What a beautiful gift for the people of God. So every year in February, we celebrate World Day of Consecrated Life. Mm-hmm. And your mission and your present assignment has a great deal to do with consecrated life. And we've actually entitled the episode that we're doing right now, Consecrated Life, a Many Splendored Gift. So it's a many splendored gift for the church and the world. Mm-hmm. Please tell us about your role and how it relates to consecrated life.
Okay. I was invited by Archbishop Blair at the time to become what is called the Delegate for Religious. And that ministry entails being a bridge and a voice to all the women's religious communities in the Archdiocese of Hartford, along with all the religious men's communities, such as the Missionaries of La Salette, the Passionists, the Christian Brothers, along with those who are consecrated virgins. We have one hermit, and it's also a bridge to the secular institutes that may be in the diocese. So I become the voice from the Archbishop to all those entities, and at the same time, I have the ability to travel to meet as many as I can of the religious. And if there are any concerns or suggestions or whatever, I take that back to the Archbishop. So I call it, I'm the communication bridge.
And we so appreciate your personal touch, sister. We've loved having you among us, and we so appreciate what you're doing for all of us. And I think many times people think of consecrated life as only consecrated religious life, but I think they may not realize that even though there's a great and beautiful and rich diversity within consecrated religious life, such as our religious families, there's also a diversity within the broader context of consecrated life. And I wondered if you might share with those who have joined us about the different forms of consecrated life.
Sure. I want to start off, however, by saying that in a sense, at our baptism, all of us were consecrated. And we were consecrated as part of being within and then serving the people of God. So we sometimes think of consecrated life as just relegated to those of us who have vows. But you know, it's larger than that. It goes back to baptism. So yes, I will now describe the various entities that we have for consecrated life. We do have the consecrated life of religious sisters, and they take the 3 vows of poverty, chastity, obedience. There are consecrated, what I would call, brothers in Christ, and those are the priests who belong to the orders I mentioned before. They take vows just like we do. And likewise, the religious brothers who serve also have vows. Now, I talked about the consecrated virgin. That is a woman, single, never married, who chooses to give herself to God in consecration and has the same vows that we do, but lives a lifestyle that's in the community and does not become part of a formal religious community, but lives out in lay life, doing whatever profession she has been trained for, being an integral part of the church and the diocese where she lives, and engaging on that level. And then we have the hermit. And usually you think of a hermit or a monk as someone living in a monastery somewhere, but there is a new movement within the church, not new, but new at this time, where there are men who choose to live the life of a hermit, which is one mostly of prayer and penance. Those monks, hermits, also are consecrated by vows. They live sometimes in the middle of a city, and people don't even know a hermit is living in their midst. And that's what we enjoy here in the Archdiocese. Our hermit lives in a small town, in his own apartment, but lives that life of prayer and withdrawal to some extent, but then goes out to take care of the necessities of life that all of us need to do. And then there's the last group, I would say, of seculars who belong to institutes or associations. They don't take formal vows, but they live the lifestyle that we do in consecrated life, but again, they live it in the world. And sometimes they form groups together, and they pray together, and they socialize together, and they serve the church the same way we do. So there's all different levels of consecrated or secular life, but all wrapped up in the baptismal call that we all received to be part of the body of Christ and therefore serve where we can.
And I love how you brought that out about all of these forms of life are based on our baptismal commitment.
Right.
And our call is to holiness. And these are just so many beautiful ways that that call to holiness, that baptismal commitment, can be lived out in its fullness. And I think a lot of people don't even realize there are so many beautiful vocations in the church. Right. But I know that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is very appreciative of consecrated persons. And he has said, where would the church be without our consecrated persons?
Yes.
So he greatly values the role that each of us plays in the work of the kingdom.
He's often referred to us as being the people in the field hospital.
Yes.
Out there taking care of. So he's very much, I agree with you, he's very not only respectful of, but endorses people finding their vocation in all the ways that they may find it.
Yes. Yes, and Sister, in your role as delegate for religious, mm-hmm. you're not specifically in charge of vocations for the religious women in the Archdiocese or for the consecrated vocations in the Archdiocese, but how does your role relate to vocations, say for those out there who are searching?
You probably want to say that I'm a resource person. So I would say that someone has some kind of a nudge happening, they're wondering about religious life, but they don't know a lot about it, and maybe they don't know a community, and they don't even know what a vocation director is at that point. But I might be the one. I might be the one who would suggest where a woman or a gentleman would be able to get information about the various types of life, because I would not zero in on one particularly unless I began to get the feeling that that person was really focused on one type of consecrated life. But I think I would be the resource person to then, and I've done this, actually put them in touch with a spiritual director to walk a journey of where am I being called in life? I am not a spiritual director. However, I might put that person in touch with those whose ministry is to companion and walk the journey of discernment in one's life. So that's one way that my office interfaces with vocations.
That's wonderful, and we'll be placing your information at the disposal of those who are participating. And so Sister Barbara Mullen can be reached for as a resource person for vocations. And we thank you for your availability. And you know, I've had a number of opportunities, as probably you have as well, to be out among the young adults of our church, to be out among college students, at young adult gatherings, and so forth. And it just amazes and inspires me how the young people of our church are seeking. They're searching. Mm-hmm. They're searching for what God wants. Like, can I say they're specifically looking for vocation, quote unquote? They don't know, but they're searching, and they're so sincere, and they're so earnest. And you know, there's this narrative about diminishment of religious life and of church and all of that, but there's a lot of spiritual fervor, even though there are many areas in our society where there is not that fervor, but there are pockets of intense fervor. And I'm amazed at how willing the young people are to look, how open they are to hear, to learn. And they want to do what God wants. Mm-hmm. Not always easy, but they want to do it sincerely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there is an obvious desire to increase one's spiritual life. And sometimes they don't really know what that is, but the call is there to go deeper and to find a way in which they can build on their relationship with God. Now, if they've been fortunate enough to maybe go on retreat, some of that is obviously broken open at retreat with that. But sometimes they've never had that opportunity. And sometimes it's very hard in a peer group to share with a friend, you know, I'm thinking about whatever. They're not so sure that they want to do that unless there is a sense that others with a like feeling are moving in a direction. And I think that's why it's important, working with young people, that we put them in touch with others who are searching the same way, so that in conversations there's a comfortableness, even about talking about, gee, do you think I might have this thing called a vocation? Well, you're not going to do that with everyone, but you may do it with a peer group when you get the sense, everybody's beginning to ask a similar question, and we may not end up in the same places, but I'm on a journey and so are they. So they begin to express more and open to possibilities and potential out there.
Yes, we see that a lot in our Catholic campus ministries. Mm-hmm. They are a nucleus of fervent young people open to the Lord on a huge campus. Mm-hmm. And they are comfortable with one another, asking the questions that really matter, because they're wonderful campus ministers, their priests, their focus missionaries, whatever, are really helping them to deepen their relationship with Christ and ready their hearts. And so from that, they ask the questions. And in our archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Hartford, we're blessed to have so many vibrant Catholic young adult groups. We have Crossfire, we have Crossroads for Christ, mm-hmm. we have Young Catholic Professionals, which opened up a chapter just recently locally, and we have Frassati Society and so many others. And these young people really want to live their lives in a way that helps them to grow closer to Christ and to reflect Him and to further the work of His kingdom. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's beautiful how ready their hearts are. But they need people to invite them, they need people to witness to them and to help them to have the courage to step forward and to ask the questions.
Thank you for going there with the asking the questions. If I think back on my own religious experience, I went to nursing school. I had thought about, you know, a religious, you know, a vocation, but it didn't really gel. So I went off to nursing school, and I want to say that it was the witness of the sisters with whom I worked on a nursing basis, but it was also the willingness to ask the question. I can remember the day one of the sisters came up to me, and I'm a nursing student, and she said to me, "Did you ever think about a vocation?" I said, "No," which is the typical response sometimes, but it was extending the invitation. And I don't think we always do it enough. And so I think that's another area in which we need to beef it up a little bit, if I can put it that way. Don't be afraid to ask the question. And if it's a no, it's a no, but you know, you plant a seed. And someone might start, "Well, she or he thought maybe, and I've been thinking maybe, so maybe there's wisdom in that whole piece that I need to explore." So asking of a younger person, "Have they ever considered?" can reap so much, so much.
It's true, and the research done by CARA, which is the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate at Georgetown University, confirms this, and that the more people are invited, the more they're willing to consider. And when people are invited by more than one person, it grows exponentially. Mm-hmm. And by a third person, it multiplies. And so many of those who are living priesthood and religious life today, when they're asked, "Did somebody invite you?" Yes. Yeah. And it may not have been family, mm-hmm. but somebody out there invited them.
Right.
And that power of invitation is it's really effective.
Yes. And you also brought up family. For some young people today, probably unlike our situations, they don't grow up sometimes in a practicing family. Sometimes, not, but you know, it does start at home to some extent for lots of people. They are raised in such a way that it's natural for them to be part of church, to be part of the people of God. They've done it, so on and so forth. But for others, again, they need to see and experience how people of faith engage in the world. So again, it's the asking the questions. And they're not being afraid to say, "Well, you know, I don't want to interfere, and maybe the family should." Well, sometimes the family doesn't. And not because they don't wish to, but they have never entertained or thought about the reality of having a son or daughter, enter religious life, become a priest. But look at all the other possibilities there are. And so they can't speak well to that. So yes. I applaud the families who outright say and encourage a young man or a young woman to think about it, but it's not always there. And we have to be alert to that, and that's why we ask sometimes.
Yes, and sometimes in the most unexpected place, you find someone who is pondering these questions and you didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So we need to be ambassadors for the good news, mm-hmm. the good news of the kingdom, the good news of vocation. The young people of today, they're not just the future of the church, they are the church. And so we need to tap into the beautiful gifts that God has given them and open a way for them to learn about this way of life, these many beautiful vocations, and to have the courage to follow.
On following, Pope Francis had a number of things that he's talked about in 2019 when he spoke to the young people. And I laughed out loud when I saw some of them, because his admonition to young men and women who might be considering but don't, you know where they're going to go with it, he had a couple of really on target thoughts. And one of them was, don't stand on the balcony just looking down. Don't sit in the armchair. Don't keep staring at the TV or the computer screen. His words were, if you are even in any way thinking that, oh, maybe this is an option for me, his words were, open the cage door and fly. I just thought, what a wonderful thought that is, to free people, to literally, he was inviting them to free themselves from the roadblocks that we sometimes put up. And his end statement was, open that cage door and fly. And find out what's out there and what may be possible and how God is calling you.
And I think sometimes people don't realize the freedom that there is in consecrated life, tremendous freedom. And God leaves us free to discern and to choose and to take the leap. Mm-hmm. And he's always so sensitive to his sons and daughters and to our freedom in that choice, mm-hmm. in confirming his choice of us, really.
And I think also the God-given gifts that we have, whatever those are, whether we have a gift to teach, whether we have a gift to, in my case, nurse, whether we have a gift to whatever it happens to be, religious life does not ask you to put those aside. If anything, religious life wants to capitalize and let that person blossom with the gifts they have in service of others. So if people are thinking, I have to give up this, I have to let that go, you're going to learn that there's a big surprise waiting in that part of the call to religious community is to use your God-given skills, gifts, in the service of others. That's part of this call.
I love that point. I'm so glad you brought it up, because that's the vocation where God is calling you. That's the vocation where you're going to be your happiest self. You're mm-hmm. going to be the real you. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. They think they leave the real themselves outside the gate, but that's where you're going to be the real you. Mm-hmm. So I will pause to mention that this is God Calling Vocation Vibes, Conversations with the Little Sisters of the Poor. I'm Sister Carolyn, and I have with me Sister Barbara Mullen, the Hartford Archdiocesan Delegate for Religious. We're having a wonderful conversation about consecrated life, honoring World Day of Consecrated Life, which is celebrated every year in February, and the many beautiful forms of consecrated life that God has given His church. Sister, you told me more details about your vocation call in an earlier off-screen telling. I think those participating would love to hear those additional details.
If I must, I must. Yes, I will. As I mentioned, I grew up like anyone else, a teenager. I dated, I did this, I did that, and finally decided to go to nursing school. And in nursing school, again, I continued dating. I was this far away from an engagement ring. And I remember feeling, it was a feeling, that in justice I couldn't accept a ring and a commitment, because I felt there was something else happening there, but I didn't know what. I didn't know what. So in the end, I had to say to the poor soul, I'm sorry. I don't think right at this moment I'm called to marriage. It's not you. It's just something that I have to go with. And so I entered the community, still wondering myself, was this a pipe dream that I had? Was it real? Well, I laugh, and I think I told you the part that the young man pursued, thinking that I certainly would come home. And so every once in a while, he would call up my mother and say, is she home yet? And my mother would have to say, no, she's not. She's not home yet. And it was like there was another possibility for me. It wasn't that I was entering a community because I didn't want to get married, didn't want to have children. I mean, those were very normal responses to life that I was feeling, and yet there was something else I could not put my finger on, except possibly it was a vocation. So yeah, when I entered, I probably entered, when I think about it, saying, well, I'll give it a chance. I'll try it out. And I can always go home, because I know that I could have gotten married because I was this close to a ring and all that. Well, of course, that didn't happen. I've been in religious life now 56 years. That's not to say that along the way, I didn't miss some of what my peers and those I grew up with got married, had children, had grandchildren. There will always be that tug, because as a woman, it's that maternal piece. But somehow you channel that into caring for and being part of other persons' life situations. And be that presence, which is really the call to religious life, being present to others and bringing them to Christ, to God, however that happens. So the nurturing part is still there. You still live it out.
It's an awesome way to live out our spiritual maternity.
It is.
For people.
It is. And I think that the men do it also. I'm not here to say that the priests and the brothers and the hermit don't have that maternal instinct. That maternal is another word for nurturing. And so all of us, male, female, we all are called to nurture others. So, you know, I felt it one way. I am sure that a priest and a brother feels that same call, and it's lived out in a different way. But when you come right down to it, we're all nurturing. We are all living out a nurturing of others to bring them closer to God, however their particular journey works itself out.
Yes.
So now everyone knows I once almost had a ring.
And you have a ring.
And I have a ring, right.
I just want to say, as we prepare to close our comments, that vocation is a mystery.
Yes.
So you felt something, you knew what lay ahead of you in terms of engagement and marriage was something very, very good and not mm-hmm. something that you disdained.
Right.
But vocation is a mystery. So in addition to our head knowledge, the Holy Spirit puts promptings in our heart to know that there's more and to know that His plan for us is even greater, even deeper. And you can't explain it.
No. And that's one of the reasons why I would encourage anyone who's thinking about the possibility, or it's just floating by and you're not sure of anything at this point, see if you can find a good companion, a spiritual director, because in the process there is a self-discovery that happens as you journey through life, especially with someone who is trained to help you really pull the pieces together and put other pieces aside, helps you to narrow to the best decision in life for you. So again, I would encourage someone who's beginning to think, find a companion, find someone you trust, find a spiritual director, and begin and walk a journey that takes some time and some unfolding and teasing out the parts until that way becomes clear. Whether it is, yes, I believe I have a vocation to religious life in some form, or no, but I do have a vocation for married life, but I do have a vocation for single life, and they're all good.
All good. Thank you, Sister. I appreciate so much your being our guest today and
Thank
sharing
you.
With us.
It's been delightful.
And I would encourage those who are with us to do all that they can to invite. God may be calling you. You may be in a different vocation, but God is inviting you to invite others. So please don't pass up the opportunity to do that. And I would say if you care to like and share and subscribe to this podcast, follow this podcast, that will help others to become aware of its existence and others to listen in, because we have many interesting topics coming up that will support people, enlighten and support people as they consider vocation, their vocation in the church.
And I would like to add something else, and it's I've thought about it and we've talked about it, but I didn't think about it until this minute. It's very obvious that Sister and I are not dressed the same way. And sometimes there are questions around that. And I tell all of the groups that I meet with, and you can attest to this, it's not what we wear. It's not how we pray. It's not how often. It's not what we do particularly for ministry, where your congregation is focused on the elderly. Mine is focused kind of all over the place, wherever there's a need. I tell everybody, and I want to share that at this moment, those are external pieces. But the fact is, you and I have the same call, but lived out in different situations. But the call is as valid and doesn't depend on how we dress, how we pray. That's all part of our life according to our unique charism, the vision we have in our congregations. But the thing we share in common is that we live a consecrated life in service to others. That's the important key here.
Thank you for bringing that out, because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering. But yes, there's, as I mentioned, a great diversity within consecrated life and a rich, rich diversity within consecrated religious life. Mm-hmm. But we are all one in our witness to Christ and using our different gifts and our different ways of dressing and praying and carrying out our apostolates and so forth to glorify God and to further His kingdom. And, and that's what it's all about.
That's the bottom line.
So if anyone wants to reach me, Sister Carolyn, I can be reached at lspusapodcast @gmail.com. So again, that's lspusapodcast @gmail.com. And Sister?
And you can reach me at sr.mullen, M-U-L-L-E-N, @aohct.org.
Thank you so much, Sister, and we'll look forward to having you join us next time. We are going to have Sisters and Seekers Encore. It'll be part two of the podcast that we did most recently, which will include some more of the beautiful witnesses of young people at the SEEK Conference, the Catholic Fellowship of University Students Conference that was held in St. Louis. As I mentioned, our young people are awesome. And so please look forward to that with us and join us when that is published. And thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
May God bless each of you and your journey.